When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. Norwood missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25 by the score of 20-19.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I don't know if Grohl should be the one talking about innocence right now.
Never made much sense.
All right, we talked a little football. We'll still take your calls on the football. 888-808-1019. Watching the best team in the NFL last night? Is that what we saw? Getting ready for the Jets in a couple weeks. And then, of course, Jaden Daniels' coming-out party, who was just brilliant in this game, and for me, just will always be associated with the Giants because we're going to have to see him twice every year, plus Dable wanted him so bad he could taste it. And he's got nobody to blame but himself figuring out a way to win games with Tommy La Russa, I almost said. Tommy Lasorda. No, not that one either. Tommy DeVito. But let's turn to the baseball because it's finally here. And I don't want to sound condescending because this might sound condescending. Man, the Orioles really blew this thing. This was supposed to be, and this is why I disagree with Evan Roberts. I want the fun. Now, I want the Yankees to win the division. Don't get me wrong. And I've been watching the Oriole games and rooting for losses. I've focused on them. I've been watching them on the MLB TV app and everything and rooting for them to lose and laughing at their inability. They're down 2 runs. They score 2 in the ninth. They have second and third, nobody out, and they can't get the winning run in and lose that game to Detroit, which I'm not sure how I feel about that because Detroit's the hottest team heading into the postseason right now, and I don't know if I want to see them. Everybody scares you when you're a Yankee fan. We know this. They're as good as anyone, but they scare the hell out of you. Every single postseason. And that's how the Mets must feel right now. And that's what I really want to talk to you about. Because we can preview the series. I want to talk about Severino in a second. But I'm curious if you're, you know, if you're listening, give me a call, 888-808-1019. I want to know what the feeling of the Met fan is right now. Because I think it should be uber confident. Now, you got the pitching matchup tonight with Severino. Then tomorrow you have Peterson, Sale. And here's the other, like, hiccup that's being thrown into it. They're expecting a hurricane on Thursday, you know, near Atlanta, where the weather might be brutal in Atlanta, and you could have to play a doubleheader on Wednesday, which is a disaster. Nobody wants a doubleheader. Now, considering all the Mets absolutely need is one victory, maybe a doubleheader plays into their favor, because as everyone knows, it's hard to sweep a doubleheader. But I mean, just think, if the Mets lose tonight and then it gets moved up and there is a doubleheader on Wednesday, Wednesday becomes just an unbelievable all-day-long day of baseball. And the idea that Evan Roberts would have to be on the radio while that game is being played puts a smile on my face. I have to admit, the idea that Evan in the afternoon would have to sit here and do a show talking about Giants Cowboys while the Mets are playing for their lives, for their playoff lives, on the TV right here. Oh, that would be a must-listen, much-watch, both Met and Evan Roberts and the Evan and Tiki show. But I'm curious how you feel, because you know what? This team has earned the right to feel confident heading in. I mean, it just has. It's earned the right to feel like this is a different type of group, a special group. I don't expect Lindor to play in this game. And honestly, I'm not sure he's going to play in this series. Not with the cushion you've built with a 2-game lead. But you go into this series against Atlanta. All you need, all you desperately need is one game. You'd like two and end it. You'd like two and end it. And honestly, last night you got a favor as the Diamondbacks lose to the Giants. And I was watching that game, and Corbin Carroll had some miserable at-bats in this game. Just miserable. And you know that offense is potent. They've scored the most runs in the league, but sometimes they have some brutal at-bats. And the San Francisco Giants went in there and took the game last night. So now the Mets are a half a game up on Arizona for the second wild card. And all you have to do is tie Arizona. So right now the Mets, even with the Atlanta series, have an opportunity to sneak in, even if it doesn't go great in Atlanta. But I can't imagine still getting in losing three games. But you head into this series, and for me it starts with Severino. And I think you should be confident in this lineup, especially in this pitching matchup tonight. But this group, this offense, this rotation, and the way they have been so resilient, where even if they lose the first game, even against Chris Sale the second game, you would feel confident in this team's ability to bounce back. And I think they've earned your trust. And I would think a Met fan right now, as pensive as you may be, as tight as you may be, as scared of the Atlanta Braves, and rightfully so, considering your history with this organization, as much as that all rolls into a ball of just absolute nervous energy for tonight's game, 7:20 in Atlanta, I really feel like the Met fans should be excited and ready to roll and feel like there is a very good chance you are two wins away from clinching a division and celebrating in Atlanta. But I want to talk about Severino because I feel like I'm in a very good position to talk about Severino, being a Yankee fan and considering how he's played this year for the Mets, having seen pretty much every single Severino start of his entire career. Severino has been a bulldog his career when healthy, other than last year where he was awful for the Yankees. Severino, during the regular season, has been a big-game pitcher. Severino, this year, has shown me a lot. There was that brief two- or three-game start stretch where he wasn't playing well, wasn't pitching well, and everybody talked about the innings, and he hasn't pitched this much in 2018, but he has bounced back in a huge way. And while he's no longer the perceived ace of the staff, which he might have been a few weeks ago, a few months ago, Manaea has been on such a run that there is no doubt the best pitcher on the staff right now, Sean Manaea. And he will go third and last and, you know, pull up the rear and be the anchor for this three-game set. And you feel good about that. And starting it with Severino, ending it with Manaea makes me feel very comfortable about this rotation for this three-game stretch. And obviously the rotation 2 years ago is what blew it for you. I mean, you went in with Scherzer, and you went in with DeGrom, and you went in with Bassett, and that was the strength of your team. That's how your team was built. Your team was built for those two ace starting pitchers. You went out there and got Max Scherzer, a Hall of Fame talent. You had the best pitcher in baseball when healthy in Jacob DeGrom, and you know Mr. Bassett, the man of 1,000 pitches, was there ready to, you know, the three of them was how this thing was built. And right now, the only thing that I link to that is that it feels like right now the pitching has been what's carried them. And you head in not necessarily expecting to dominate offensively. Not against, certainly not in the second and third game against Sale and Fried. Like, you're expecting your starting pitching to carry you much like you expected it 2 years ago. And for me, you're going to find out real early with Severino because, like I said, during the regular season, Luis Severino has been great when healthy. Almost exclusively, other than last season. But if you look at the postseason, and I have to be fair, I think some of what I'm about to tell you is a little unfair and not the whole story. But this feels like a playoff game to me, right? I know it's still part of the 162, but these three games, this is a playoff series to find out who's going to make it into the postseason. This is the pre-wild card series, a three-game set against your bitter rival in their building to decide who's going to make it. That's about as much of a playoff series as you can have. And in Severino's playoff history, as a New York Yankee, unfortunately, it's been unkind to him. His first one ever was the 2017 wild card, and he didn't make it out of the first inning. He got one out and gave up three runs. 2018, he forgot what time the game started. He has overall, in his postseason history pitched to a 5.15 ERA. He's pitched 43 innings, given up 45 hits, 25 runs. He's walked 21 batters, and he struck out 44. For the strikeout to walk ratio is 2-1. He's 11 and he's got one win, four losses. He has not been a great postseason pitcher for the New York Yankees. He wasn't. He just wasn't. And I'm not worried about him necessarily, but I'm fascinated by his performance because I'll tell you this. I think clearly in any series, game one is important, but I believe with this team, you've seen signs and you've seen reasons to believe and you've seen, you know, these sort of magical moments, whether it was the ball hitting the base in the game last night, where a steal of third, throw from Alvarez that hits a base. And I'm telling you, we've seen that play. If you're a baseball fan, especially this year, with the last 2 years, the base is bigger and the steal's up, you have seen that play 100 times. And when the ball hits the base, it does funky things. It does not pop straight up in the air. Like, there is someone up on high with the Mets this year. Like, it's felt like that. And this rotation, all the things that David Stearns has done. Like, what a remarkable first year. Now, again, it's only his first year, and I'm curious to see how the Yankee fans will view this because, you know, he didn't build the core four. You know, he didn't bring Pete Alonso. He didn't bring Lindor. I wonder if he's going to get any credit for a championship. My Yankee shill take of the day. Brian Cashman deserves credit for the 98-99 2000 championships. And I'm wondering how Stearns will be viewed, considering he didn't bring the core of this team here. All he did was put together the entire starting rotation. I mean, Manaea, Severino. I mean, those two right there. Those two right there. Let alone reshape this entire bullpen as it went along. Like, they've done a remarkable job. Every decision feels like the right one. Iglesias, Tyrone Taylor, like all these guys who have stepped up and been big and clutch to the point where you can't have them out of the lineup. Like, everything has kind of had a charm nature to it, let alone the grimace and the OMG and all the stuff. And I'm just telling you right now, I just get the feeling that tonight is going to be the telltale sign of how this series goes. Because if Severino reverts into playoff Severino for the New York Yankees, which, again, there are some decent moments in there. But if he does not give you a good start, and in the one pitching matchup that's clearly in your favor, is a disaster and you're into this bullpen early, that's the other thing. You don't want to be into the bullpen too early in this series, in game one of the series. Like, I think this entire thing is predicated on Severino's start tonight, right? The bullpen, although it's good, I don't know how deep you feel it is right now. You like the back end of it. Like, Maton's been really good. Even Reed Garrett's kind of established himself as getting better. Buto, but how many, you know, games can Buto pitch in this series? Diaz, after a day off, I know it's big boy time, and you got to put your big boy pants on, to quote the great manager. And they've been protecting him this year for these moments. But he's coming off a six game. He's coming off a six out performance, a four out performance. How many games do you want to have to throw him into this series? Hopefully, all three, I guess. Means you have the lead. But I just think that Severino needs to be good. Severino needs to go deep. And you need to establish this thing from game one. Because let's be fair, considering what happened 2 years ago, not only will you, who I think should feel good about this game going in, as a Met fan, you should be confident. You should feel good. They've played well enough. They've earned your trust. That goes out the window. Severino gets lit up in game one. And on the opposite, if he goes out there and shuts down the Braves, already gets you that one victory, it will be a fait accompli. You will get the other. Like, this is the, if he does not pitch well and they lose game one, the pressure mounts for a group that still remembers. Pete Alonso remembers. Lindor remembers. Diaz remembers. This group remembers what it was like losing that series against the Braves 2 years ago and what it turned their team into and how the rest of the year, all brief as it was, completely changed off that series. I think this is the most important game. And, you know, it's somewhat obvious, but Severino, to start, everything changes if they lose this game. Right now you're feeling good. Right now you're confident, and you should be. How are you going to feel if Severino doesn't pitch well? How are you going to feel if you get shut down? How are you going to feel if they lose game one, heading into what could possibly be a doubleheader on Wednesday, depending on what the weather could be like? Or even better, a rainout on Wednesday and then a forced 163. How fun would that be? I don't know if they would do that. If the game isn't played, I'm curious, because of the tiebreaker, I wonder if they would do that. Because they haven't made them play, it's just a tiebreaker. But if they haven't played 162, I'm sure there's a 163, right? That's probably why they would do the doubleheader. Like, there are no more days off, right? I'm not missing anything. Let me just make sure. Why don't I see the schedule? There we go. This computer is slow as... Yeah, no, there are no more days off. So, if the Braves and Mets are rained out on Thursday, see if you can find this out. I don't know. If the Braves and Mets are rained out on Thursday, they don't bump it up to a Wednesday doubleheader. They just get rained out. The weather's too bad. And then the Mets go play the Brewers. I forget who the Braves are playing.
Well, you have that Monday.
Right, they have the day in between, but that would be 163.
Oh, you're saying if there's a tiebreaker.
Because of the playoffs structure, they've just gone on tiebreakers. Now, if they split the first two, which they would have to, otherwise it wouldn't matter what they do on Thursday. If they split the... Or actually, no, because the Mets could lose the first two and then have a tiebreaker. Whatever. There'll be a tiebreaker, but if they split the first two, they wouldn't even be a tiebreaker. Because it would be... Right now, they've each won five. So if they play another two, Mets win one, Braves win one, and then somehow they fall on their face in Milwaukee, Braves win two, and now they're tied. There's no tiebreaker as far as, you know, head-to-head. Do they look for the second tiebreaker and just give it to that team, or do they make them play 163? Because right now they're going on tiebreakers. But I would imagine if you don't play 162, they make you finish that game. And it wouldn't even be 163. I'm using the word wrong term. It would be a makeup of 162. I would imagine they make him play the game on Monday. That would be fun. But I just think Severino in this game is very important. And to start this series, because if you lose it, you get real tight real quick. Let's go to Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Hey, good morning, Stu.
Stu,
all these complications. Why can't we just get the season over with and get into the playoffs and see what happens?
Well, because you gotta get to see who's in the playoffs first. It's not decided. It's undecided.
No.
For the Yankees, hopefully, it's decided, at least.
Yeah, it's decided, and hopefully tonight will be a celebration, and we can move on.
I got a tough decision on my hands here. On one hand, I'd like to go to the game and be there, or like hope to be there, for the Yankees clinching the division. But the Met game is so important. I'll watch it on my phone. I'll probably go with the press credential, so I would sit in the press box and be able to watch it on my phone, but... I don't know. I'm torn. I'm torn on what to do. But I'm sorry.
Are you going tonight?
I was thinking about going tonight. I'm just saying the Met game is so damn important. I want to be on my couch for this game. I want to watch the Met game badly. I mean, I could still watch it on the game. I could bring my laptop and have a decent sized screen. I can have my headphones. I can be listening to the game while I'm watching the Yankees on the field. Like, I could do both. But I don't know. Something about me
supposed to be on the couch watching it in the comfort of your home.
Well, yeah, not only that, I just I as much as the Yankees game is important and I want them to win the division, the Met game is far more important tonight.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, the Mets have got to beat the Braves 2 out of 3 so they can nail it down and set up the rotation for the playoffs. That would be ideal.
Yep.
Whether they do that or not, I don't know, because Atlanta always had 2 years ago they had their number. And the Mets had that,
They had Scherzer, DeGrom, and Bassett lined up for that series, and they got swept.
Right.
And then they had the same three lined up for the wild card series against the Padres, and only DeGrom showed up. So their pitching was more name-oriented 2 years ago, and certainly had the pedigree. This year's team's actually pitching better heading into the series.
Right, because I think they have more of a unit as a rotation. And did they say Senga would be back? No,
Senga had a setback in his tricep. He's shut down. I wouldn't expect to see him.
No, well, Lou Trevino is also shut down for the
year. Yeah, I'm not going to see him either.
What's with Efros?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. He came up, and I guess, you know.
Yeah, he came up, and we saw him once, and that was it. What, did he get hurt again?
I guess, or, you know, they didn't like his stuff. I remember him, he didn't pitch well in it.
No, he didn't.
So, I mean, I guess they sent him back down to get some work still. Or they felt he wasn't ready. I don't remember hearing I don't remember hearing an injury issue with him.
No,
so.
I didn't hear that either. But the thing is, the bullpen is a lot better right now with the Yankees.
Oh, no doubt. The bullpen is much, much better.
And Luke Weaver is proving out to be someone of
he
can close games.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt, Stu. The bullpen is in far better shape than it's been all year long, even with Clay Holmes in there. Right now, Weaver is both dynamic and can give you multiple innings. Like, he's given you multiple innings pretty consistently. You feel like right now you get into a playoff series, or you get to the eighth, you're going to see Weaver. Like, that helps a little bit to avoid Clay Holmes for those of you trying to do it. But, I mean, right now you've got Hill is the one lefty out of the bullpen that you trust. He can get lefties out, and you feel like you've got also Canely to get lefties out, and he can get both out, but you feel pretty good if you get into a tough spot. Hill's already thrown earlier in the game, and you get to a spot where you need a tough lefty in the seventh inning or eighth inning, or depending on where the lineup's going to turn over to face the difficult lefty. You have Canely there. Hopefully, Cousins in that slider is going to be back from the IL. He's pitching great. I just told you, you know, Weaver's been unbelievable. And Hamilton, although it wasn't great in his last outing, the Slambio, as long as that changeup's getting down, he's come in and pitched relatively well, and you know what he's done over the last year and a half. So you feel good about the back end of the bullpen for the most part. You've got those four names, really. You feel glorious about Weaver. You feel pretty damn good about Canely. You feel pretty damn good about Hill. And you feel relatively good about Hamilton. And you know me, I still think Clay Holmes is better than his results. But his results are terrible, so I can't tell you that you're gonna pitch him, but he's gonna be used in the series. And they're gonna need him. They're gonna need him. But they gotta set up the rotation that right now is pitching well and has healthy guys and see who gets transferred to the bullpen, because then that does add an arm. And right now the lineup, and I think Gleyber Torres is a really fascinating conversation we need to have, because he's absolutely killing it right now in the leadoff spot. He's not just good. I mean, he has been unbelievable. He had a home run. I mean, even his power swing is back. I know a lot of his home runs here have been cheapies in the Yankee short porch. He went to dead center field the other day. Like, his power stroke is back. He's getting on base. He's seeing pitches. He's hitting 300. Like, he's doing everything you could possibly want out of a leadoff hitter. And if Stanton can get hot, he hits a home run the other day. Like, that's right now, there's no doubt. You feel as good as we've felt in a long time. Unless you're just one of these Yankee haters. If you're just a Yankee fan who refuses to experience joy until they win, and you hate everything about the team, and you hate every decision, and Boone's going to cost them, and Glaber's defense is going to cost them, and they can't hit in the clutch, and all the other nonsense that has proven out to be somewhat accurate over the last couple of years. So I'm not saying there's no merit to it, but it's a different team. It's a different year. And if you can't get excited for this team, like, too many Yankee fans I talk to, I feel like it's, why are you not, if you can't enjoy this, then what are you even a fan for? If you're going to be Randy Quaid in Major League 2, just, oh, they'll blow in the playoffs, they do it every year. Like, what's the point? Even if you're right, you should be able to enjoy this. And right now, I would say, as a Yankee fan, I haven't felt this good since maybe 2019, heading into the postseason. And even then, you knew the Astros were the Astros. I don't think the Astros are the Astros this year. So the overall, not about the team, I feel as good about them as I did the 2019 team, and over their overall chances of winning, I feel about as good heading into this postseason as I have in this Judge era. This is the year. 888-808-1019. Pennant Race Baseball is here. It's fun. Tonight's an enormous night for both teams, and I'm looking forward to it. 888-808-1019. Let's talk about it. McMonagle here with you for another hour and a half till 5 a.m. in the warm-up show right here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Start some trouble and call The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, so this, the weather in Atlanta can really play some havoc here. So, you know, me and Rami are looking into it. Rami was looking into it. I've just been looking at the weather now. They're expecting, first of all, it's a, right now, it is a tropical cyclone with the potential to become a hurricane, which they would name Helena, I believe.
Beautiful name.
Now, they're expecting bad weather both Wednesday and Thursday, and really through Saturday. So maybe by Saturday night, it could have cleared through. But they're expecting this thing could become a hurricane, full-fledged, Category 3, which is a intense hurricane, going through the Florida Panhandle, the west coast of Florida, up through Atlanta, you know, Georgia, Atlanta, through Nashville. And, you know, so, I mean, like, it could be a significant weather event. And after the Mets series, the Kansas City Royals will come to town in Atlanta, who have their own playoff implications, who right now, I believe, stand only a half game up in the wild card standings. They are tied with Detroit. They're both a game up on Minnesota. So they're a game up on the postseason. They come to Atlanta and could get washed out Friday, Saturday. How are they going to, like, if they go into, like, if they need to play all of those games, how does Atlanta play all those games?
But how perfect is this for this year's Mets season? With all the things, you go through the, you know, Grimace and the rally pimp and OMG, now there's going to be a hurricane.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, they might, could, has there ever been a Major League tripleheader? Because honestly,
involving three different teams?
Well, no, well, I'm saying, no. Because if the weather, if they get rained out, if they play Tuesday, and then the Mets get rained out Wednesday, Thursday, and the Kansas City team, the Royals get rained out Friday, Saturday. On Sunday, could you play the entire Kansas City Royals series in one day? And then, I mean, now that's just, think about how unfair that would be to Atlanta to have to play three games against Kansas City on Sunday and then make up the two games against the Mets on Monday before playing a wild card series on Tuesday. Like, you can't ask that of the Braves.
there has been a triple header in Major League history.
Like,
the most recent one was 1920.
1920. Yeah, so pretty much
between
no.
Between the Pirates and the Reds.
So the answer is pretty much no. There's never been a triple header in Major League Baseball, or, you know, in the modern. I mean, and they start these games on Tuesday, right? NL Wild Card.
Yeah, the Wild Card starts on Tuesday.
NL Wild Card 3 and NL Wild Card 2 to October 1st. So, yeah, I mean, that's... this rain could really throw... I mean, Kansas City's coming in with games on the line. They can't. They're going to need to play these games. If they have rain for four straight days, I don't know what in the world they're going to do. If you have two Met games rained out and two Kansas City Royal games rained out that have impact, like if the Mets go and just win, I mean, they solve it by winning in Milwaukee, right? Because then, but the Braves will probably still need to play the games. That's the thing. Because say Arizona, I mean, you would need both, you would need the Mets and Arizona to win their games in their series to eliminate Atlanta from the postseason, no matter what they did against the Royals. That's why the Mets need to win Tuesday night. Win Tuesday night. Win tonight. Eric in Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, hey, C-Mac. Good morning. I was just, you know, they were talking about this yesterday morning, too. I mean, they knew this storm was on track to come in there. Why couldn't they have scheduled a game yesterday or, you know, in a doubleheader today, you know, to get ahead of, at least get ahead of the weather? Just the Met-Atlanta series is, you know, probably more, at least for the East, more important to get that done. As, you know, and then you could do a doubleheader Sunday for the Kansas City-Atlanta game, and then who knows if they even need that, you know, last game then.
Right. They had an off day today. They had a mutual off day today. They could have tried to move the schedule up. I don't know if there are events at the ballpark. Probably not. Like, if you could have moved it up to today at least, and forget scheduling a doubleheader for today. I think they want to avoid doubleheaders, and I don't know about the rain just yet on Wednesday. It looks like Wednesday could be impacted. It looks like definitely Thursday, definitely Friday, and a good chance for either Wednesday or Saturday. So it looks like for sure the final game of the Mets series and the first game of Kansas City is in real trouble.
Well, I mean, or at the very least, they could have made the third game like, you know, an 11 o'clock in the morning or a noon game to try to get it, you know.
Yeah.
To minimize the, you know, I mean, they have ridiculous games at noon or 11:30 on a Sunday in the middle of the season.
No, I mean, to make sure they get, this time of year, you want to avoid a doubleheader. Like, it's not fair to these teams going into a postseason to have to use their closer for, you know, two games in a day, or like, it's because these games are too important. So you want to eliminate the doubleheader. So theoretically, yes, I think your best argument is you see the weather ahead, figure out a way to play last night. I mean, that's what you probably should have tried to do, figure out a way to play last night. But, I mean, if this – it could get crazy. If the Mets lose tonight and now it's a game – Atlanta's a game back –
And you get washed out, and then you have to
then
deal
you
with
get
it.
Then you get washed out. Yeah. You get washed out. They win their games. They win the one game they play against Kansas City. Like, it's just like it could be, and depending on what Arizona does in their series, like, it could get really crazy.
This is the part I never understood. You know, I mean, you know,
they might have to back up the playoffs. That's what they'll They'll probably have to back up the start of the wild card game.
I mean, I know a lot of people, you know, try to throw the thought out there, oh, and there aren't more, you know, dome stadiums and whatever. And I get it. It's extremely costly to even have it and whatever. But, you know, there's got to be some kind of, you know. Baseball knows the states that are in jeopardy of potential storms in certain times of the year.
Yeah, but
that's what they should be focused on.
Yeah, but even if, like, a rainstorm, fine, but you can't ask fans to drive out during a hurricane. Like if they're legitimately hurt with it, doesn't I don't know. I thought you were saying dome stadium. That's what I thought you were trying to argue.
No, but that's what I mean. Like just the argument is the beginning of the season is too cold, and the end of the season. You know, I mean that the people, you know, and mostly fans are like, you know, why don't they have, you know, the East play out West in the beginning of the season because it's right. You know, 40 degrees and whatever.
Right.
And, I mean, the argument is the same way at the end of the season because you got potential hurricanes or whatever,
yeah.
or at least heavy rain. I mean, yes, you don't want anyone going out in deadly weather, obviously, you know, but the potential for rain is greater, you know, in the southern area at the end, you know, towards the end of the season.
No doubt, of course. But I mean, I just don't know how you avoid it other than, like, sometimes you're just at the mercy of this rock spinning in nothingness. I mean, sometimes you're just at the mercy of the randomness of it all. I mean, unless you're not going to have teams in the southern eastern part of our country. Like, it's just the way it's, you know. Or manipulate the season in such a way where they start earlier in the year and do all the games out west. Like, is that the craziest thing I've ever heard? I mean, I'd hate to not play in October if it's become a tradition, but to have the World Series in August would be weird if they start the season in late February and just play, everybody starts on the West Coast. I don't even know if that would work. It's pretty damn cold in San Francisco in February. It's not like, you know, can't go to Seattle in February. I mean, I know they have a dome there. I don't know what they would do, but I got to tell you, in some way, I'm a sicko and I would love to see it. I would love to see it. Rich, out in San Francisco. Rich, is it cold in February in San Francisco?
You know, it's so weird now. By the way, can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Okay, good. We've been, like, you know, I'm not going to go off on politics, but we have all this weather now is so crazy. We have a heat wave. You know, it was 85 today in San Francisco.
Mm.
So, if February is generally rainy, you know, it could be nice. It could be, I mean, I know in New York, September is always nice, right? Pretty
yeah.
much. I mean,
oh, this September has been unbelievably nice, yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. You know what I heard? Now, I don't know if this is plausible. By the way, I love your show. I've never called you, I don't think. You remind me a lot of Larry King, and that's a compliment.
Okay.
I mean that.
Well, thank you very
okay.
much.
And your agent could pay you because I thought Summers was irreplaceable, and I'm not buttering up your, you know, tookus. I think you're really talented.
Well, thank you very
funny.
Much.
But anyway, back to the
yes.
But
and I do love suspenders, by the way.
Well, you ought to look up on YouTube when he interviewed Sharon Stone of all people and
yeah.
put suspenders. You remember that?
No, but I mean, I can imagine where
right
the Sharon. I can imagine where the Sharon Stone interview went.
Oh no! Just
if it was
a
memorable.
Look, man. After yeah. you're done, go to a break. After when you're at
the,
a break,
for whatever reason, the famous one, for whatever reason that's been around a lot lately that I've seen is the Jerry Seinfeld one, where he interviews.
Oh, well, he
interviews Jerry Seinfeld,
Larry,
and he asked him why
yeah.
the show got canceled or whatever. He's like, canceled.
Yeah, no.
He was like,
it wasn't canceled.
It was the number
yeah,
one show in the history of television,
that.
Buddy. I walked away. Do you research? Do you research this stuff? It was very funny.
Yeah, Larry, yeah, he embarrassed. It was funny, and Jerry, you know, handled it very well, and it was funny. And,
yeah,
yeah, Larry, wake up. You know, anyway,
yeah, please.
I missed that. But anyway, so you know, I heard that they have played amateur baseball games at the Georgia, not the Georgia Dome, but the other one, the new one, the one that looks like a giant cauliflower
stadium. Mercedes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I, but theoretically, if there's a hurricane.
Yeah, you can't ask people to, no, it depends on how severe.
Yeah.
It depends on how severe. I suppose
right,
if the hurricane
right.
winds don't show up and think, and you want to say something about Robert Saleh, I'll give you a second.
Yeah, real quick. Can I ask you two quick questions?
Yeah, good.
One, all right. Would you, I made this sound ludicrous, but if I'm the Mets, I don't want to play the Phillies. I know it's a big, you know. The Phillies don't
yeah,
want.
No, I think the Phillies are as complete a team as there is in the league.
But
so.
they're afraid of playing you guys. And the final thing, would you? This may sound crazy. If Saleh gets the axe, whatever, do you think they go after him? Would he take the job, Belichick?
No, I think he has a disdain for the organization. He wouldn't even in the filming of the Bill and Bill, whatever that 30 for 30 was, and they interviewed inside the MetLife Stadium. He wouldn't even go into the Jet locker room. Like I don't think he has any. I mean, is anything possible? Of course. I mean, if he believes he can win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, would he consider it? Yeah, I would be surprised. Nothing's out of the question, but I'd be surprised. But they've got the roster for it. He can go there and win, I guess.
And stick it to the Patriots, who
and stick it to the
end great there.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how much he would want to do that necessarily. I get a little bit, but I don't know. He hates the Jets, despises the Jets. But nothing's out of the question, I guess. And yeah, I've heard someone just hit me up on Twitter about a neutral site, just moving the games to a neutral site. Now, that sucks for the Atlanta Braves fans, obviously. But could you do that? Could you move it down to or up to somewhere else? Could you go play at a neutral site? Could you go play in Washington if they're on the road at the end of the year? Could you, like, move it up a little bit or move it east?
Or reliable, go down to Tampa in the dome.
Yeah. Yeah, but Tampa's the west side. They're going to be experiencing hurricane.
Right, but at least you'd be indoors there.
Yeah, well, I guess you're not going to ask fans to go anyway, I guess. You know, who's going to sell tickets to that game?
Are the Braves going to Atlanta, to Florida for the game?
That's Brave fans, yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't want to. You can't sell tickets then at all. I would think you'd want to go somewhere where maybe the Brave fans could follow you. You can get some people in the building. Sell tickets to Nationals fans. Sell tickets to, I don't know, somebody. But that's on the table, a neutral site. They're going to have to figure something out because there's too much going on to just ignore it. Noah, who should know something about rain, out in Lindenhurst. What's up, Noah? How are you? Maybe you can help us on this. We'll just take two Braves and two Mets and figure this thing out.
I've been getting those jokes my entire life. Second time long.
Well, listen, I would not be the guy who makes it, but we're literally talking about rain, so I couldn't avoid it. I'm sorry.
And I love my name, by the way. But that was my thunder. That guy stole my thunder on Twitter. I was that's okay. I was figuring just what I mean. It's not a neutral site, but just move it to Kansas City. It's great. The Braves' problem. The rain is coming through the Braves. Just move it to Kansas City.
Yeah, I know. I hate to do that. And moving it to Kansas City is not a neutral site. I understand that you could give the Braves the bottom of the inning and the advantage of being the home team, but you would still sell tickets and you'd be in a road crowd. Like, I don't know. You could do that. I don't know if that's fair to the Braves if they would sign up to go play in front of a Kansas City crowd. And, you know, just have the bottom of the ninth as the only advantage. It's tough. It is not an easy conversation. I don't know what they would do. Hopefully it doesn't turn out to be that bad because doubleheaders suck. Like, right, especially heading into a postseason. Like, the last weekend of the year, the last thing you want to do is have to, with games that determine your playoff livelihood, and whether or not you're going to make it, have to pitch your closer like right now they've been willing to pitch Diaz 4, 5, 6 outs. You can't do that twice in a day. If you need Diaz for 5 outs, that's it. He's done for game 2. And then if you do something crazy or have to use your bullpen guys to secure a victory to get in, because especially if the doubleheader is played on Monday leading into that series, and now you go right into a wild card series and you've ravaged your entire roster. Like, it's not right. They're going to have to figure something out because a doubleheader on Monday or something to that extreme, it's just not fair. It's not fair to the winner who then goes to play the wild card series. And I know what you're going to say. Win the division, I suppose. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Kenny in the Bronx real quick before the break. What's up, Kenny?
All right. You got to believe. And
you got to believe.
Listen, Chris, I had the same problem 2 years ago when the hurricane hit, when the Mets were going down to Atlanta. The thing is, first of all, I know Gio is right now. Gio is texting, he's emailing, he's faxing, he's paging. But I promise you guys, no Buchanan in this one. Well, you know, with the Yanks, the thing is, when Gleyber first came up, I mean, he had numbers like Sandberg and Morgan and everything I never got on his case, really. I mean, he puts up good, some decent numbers for second baseman. Is he a good fielder? Does he lose his concentration? Whatever you want to say, he's just not the best fielder at second base.
Yeah.
But I like this. I like the Yankee team going into the playoffs. I was a little skeptical about the pitching relief and starting to be in the year. But let's get this whole team healthy, and then let's see if we can rock and roll in October, Big Chris.
Yeah, well, thank you, Ken.
You didn't. He seemed to be in a good mood. I would have just asked him, what's it all about?
Yeah, the Buchanan thing? Nah, no need. I know what it's about. There's really not a lot of deep thought behind it. I think they're about as good as and healthy as they've been. And as long as Soto's okay and he played, and it's just a banged up knee, so hopefully he's fine. Like, and Cousins is a bit of an issue on the IL, but it sounds like to me that they expect him back for the postseason when the series starts next Saturday. I just think that, yeah. And Gleyber Torres, I'm not. The conversation about Gleyber Torres right now is next year. And I don't want to have that conversation because I'm focused on this year and this postseason run. The question now is, what do you do with Gleyber Torres? And do you offer him the qualifying offer? Because I don't know. I don't give him a contract, but I'm starting to at least think to possibly offer him the qualifying offer and give him one more year. But I don't know if you can afford to go give Juan Soto that contract and then pay $20+ million to Torres when you have options. When you could play different people and you're gonna have to trust the kids. Like there's a conversation around that, but right now there's no conversation. He's the leadoff hitter. He's playing second base. He's been good defensively. We know he's prone to the mishap. We know he's prone to the mental gaffe. He's gonna have to avoid it. And it does uniquely impact them. Like, it feels like other people can make errors, and somehow they'll come out of it. They'll be okay. They'll figure it out. You know, Dominguez drops a ball, they'll figure it out. Jazz Chisholm throws one away, they'll figure it out. When Gleyber boots one, you know two or three runs are coming. Like, there's just something to it. It's like Clay Holmes. Clay Holmes, a ground ball is going to squeak through. That's it. A ground ball could, on any other pitcher, could hit off of the heel, like Luis Gil, hit off his heel, bounce straight up in the air, go right to Rizzo for an out. If that's Clay Holmes, it's bouncing into the dugout, and he's getting second base. Like, that's how it works.
And then six walks later.
888-8. He's given up three home runs this year. Weaver's given up 10. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. 1 hour left on our Tuesday morning. Talking about last night's football and how it impacts the teams. And we start to turn the page a little bit to Giants-Cowboys specific as we get ready for Thursday Night Football. And, of course, tonight, pennant race baseball is fun. The rain can wait. Tonight we're playing baseball. Yankees-Orioles, Mets-Braves. Let's talk about it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle with you. We'll be right back.